Welcome to episode number 3 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. In this episode, we're talking about holes of the heart, banking and money, and teratology.
Exams this week, didn't you?
Yeah, in fact, I got another one tomorrow. It's a little crazy. Kind of the, like, setup or whatever is 3 weeks of really, 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 really intense lecturing, and then 1 week of basically reviewing exams. So,
anatomy. And repeat.
Yeah, yeah, and then just keep going for basically 2 years.
It's a marathon, not a race, children.
Yep. That's I think, really, really important is trying to figure out that balance so that you're studying and you're doing good things, but you're also not killing yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's actually, I think, it's going to give you worse grades than if you are just, like, pounding the books 3-4 hours a night. But, I mean, even yesterday I studied for, what, 12 hours almost?
Yeah, you did. But... So, you know, but yep. you broke it up with breaks and stuff, so I think it's good.
Yeah, yeah, and that's super helpful. And different places. I like studying at, like I don't know, there's something about a scene change that kind of refreshes you. I also really like studying at...
Like the energy changes.
Yeah.
Like,
I also really like studying at the bar.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't still quite understand... a lot of people here because of their accents, especially after they've been drinking.
Yeah.
So the background noise doesn't bother me because I can't understand it anyhow.
Sure. So we're talking about the heart?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so holes of the heart. So have you ever heard of someone say that they have a hole in their heart?
I'm pretty sure my sister had a congenital heart defect where she had a hole in somewhere in her heart.
Oh, sure, yeah. So there's a number of different things that can mean, but I kind of wanted to talk about some of the more common ones.
Okay.
And those are septal defects. So just a little bit of heart anatomy real quick, just to make sure we're all on the same page. Your heart has 4 chambers, 2 atrium, 2 ventricles.
Sure.
Okay. Right side of your heart sends out blood to the lungs. So that's blood
highly oxygenated.
No, it's going to the lungs.
To the lungs. Oh,
so it's deoxygenated.
Or less oxygenated.
Yeah, less oxygen. There's still oxygen in it, just not as much.
But for the sake of this, we'll call it deoxygenated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Left side sends oxygenated. So that's pumping to, like, the whole body.
Okay, and this is kind of a stupid question. When you say the left and right side, is it, in theater speak, stage left and stage right? Is it my left? Are we talking about me, the patient?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, because you always do everything by the patient's left and right. So,
from my front.
Like, put your hand, like, hold up your left hand. That's the side that pumps to the body.
Okay.
The left side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it would pump from the body, from the backside, too. Anyway, sorry. Don't mind me.
All right, so we have those 4 chambers, and there's these things called septums, and septums are basically anything that separates chambers.
Like in your nose.
Yeah, that's a septum.
Cool. And is it kind of like that, and it's made out of cardiac muscle, and it's kind of like that in your nose?
Is your nose made out of cardiac muscle?
No, but like kind of like squishy.
Oh, like the type of
tissue?
Tissue?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that you could generalize the type of tissue of a septum.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's just the structure.
Like, yeah, it's just the structure.
Got it.
Because, like, in the heart, it's still cardiac muscle. And even in one part, it's more muscular. In another part, it'll be more membranous.
Okay.
So, but, yeah. No, good thinking, though. All right, so we have an atrial septum. Separates the atriums, and we have a ventricle septum, which separates the ventricles, right?
Okay.
Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is the 2 types of atrial septal defects.
Those are the ones on the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the atrial septum separates the atriums, which are on the top right and left, and it's basically just a structure that goes down the middle to separate them.
Cool.
Okay. So the first one we're going to talk about is a more common one, ostium secundum atrial septal defect, or OSASD. So you got a hole in your atrium, right? And it's going to allow blood to pass
where it's not supposed to go.
Right.
Yeah, you've got those chambers for a reason.
Exactly. So the blood that comes into the left side of your heart is under a higher pressure than the blood that comes into the right side. Because your left side is pumping a lot harder, so it's all under higher pressure.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's got to worry about sending the whole body. Your right side, that just has to worry about sending to the lungs and back, and they're like right there. Okay. So because the left side is under higher pressure, it's pumping that blood to the right side through that hole.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
And it is, and that's oxygenated blood.
Going to where it's supposed to be less oxygenated.
Right. So, when you go to the gym and you lift weights,
I get ripped.
Right. Your muscles get a lot bigger, right?
Yeah.
Because they're working harder.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, we're sending extra blood to the right side of the heart.
So, your brain, your heart gets really strong.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a good thing. Because it starts to get, yeah, I mean, it starts to get a lot bigger. But there's, our hearts are only supposed to be so big. Like, there's these sacs that go around it to help it stay safe, but those sacs don't have a lot of give to them. So
it doesn't have, it's not stretchy?
No.
Like your bladder?
No, it doesn't distend like your bladder does.
Yeah. So if your heart gets too big, it can rupture it and then it's dead time.
It's not so much that it ruptures it. It's that it gets big and it starts pressing on there and then it can't
it can't
really do its thing.
It can't do its job. Right.
Yeah. Think about like being held down under a blanket.
I don't like that idea.
I don't like it either. Yeah. But then trying to move, like you just can't.
Yeah. If you're like in a sleeping bag and you just, and you're just, oh no, no, I don't like this one bit. And I bet my heart doesn't either.
So that's the idea there. And why, hypertrophy is a bad thing when it comes to the heart. So because the right atrium is getting more blood, that's going to pump harder. So you can have right atrial hypertrophy. And you can also have the same thing happen in the ventricle, right ventricle.
So it's not necessarily bad that you're getting oxygenated blood into the less oxygenated blood, but the problem is that the machine is becoming less efficient, and that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you send oxygenated blood to the lungs, you know what happens?
You breathe it out, right?
Nothing really happens.
Nothing happens. Okay.
Like, the only thing that could probably eventually be an issue is that our drive to breathe is actually not to get oxygen, it's to expel carbon dioxide.
You told me this once before. That blew my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thought, right? Yeah. So, the issue, I could see the issue being having difficulty getting enough blood to your lungs to expel the CO2.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, but for the most part, that's not the issue. Yeah. The issue is that your machine's becoming less efficient.
Okay, so that we've got extra blood in the atrium, or the right atrium and the right ventricle. So, that also means that we're sending more blood out of the right side, and that blood is getting pushed into the pulmonary artery. Because the right ventricle goes to the pulmonary artery, which then takes it to the lungs, right?
Sure. Pulmonary. Makes sense.
So now we're shoving extra blood into that vessel as well.
So it gets high blood pressure.
Exactly. It's called pulmonary arterial hypertension.
Because hypertension just means high blood pressure, right?
That's all it means. So there's also ostium primum. So this is ostium secundum. There's also ostium primum, atrial septal defect. They both are basically the same thing. It shows what structure in that septum has a hole in it. Because the way that that septum is formed is it's actually two different structures. First, it's the septum primum that grows. So, like, as your heart's forming, it's got to make that septum, right? And
it grows from the top?
It grows from the top down. It makes a connection, but it leaves a hole in there. Because that hole that we're talking about staying open, like, that's there for a reason.
What?
Yeah, so when you're in the womb and you're a fetus, do you need to send blood to your lungs?
No, because I'm not breathing.
Right. So, basically, without getting too, like, fetal circulation is kind of another, it's really interesting, but it's a kind of another topic. That hole exists so that you can bypass sending blood to your lungs. Because, you're it's not going to do anything anyhow.
Oh, so, because then that blood's going other places that need it more.
No reason to send blood to your lungs because it's already oxygenated from the placenta.
Right.
And your lungs aren't going to do anything for it. The blood vessels that go to your lungs to get oxygen don't actually really provide oxygen to your lungs.
I totally see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since you don't need it, that's why you have your hole. So when does it go away?
So it actually, that hole goes away with the first breaths that you take.
Every breath I take?
Not every breath you take, because that would take forever to go away.
Move I make?
With the first breath you take. That's what causes it to start to shut. It's called the foramen ovale. And then, actually, when you dissect a cadaver heart, you can still see where that foramen ovale was. It's just like a little divot. We call it the fossa ovale because fossa means divot, basically. Yeah.
And so you've got this stuff growing from the top and growing from the bottom, and it kind of leaves a hole, and then when you breathe for your first time, it like...
Yeah, it starts to close. Because you can live with a hole in your heart. Like, that's not necessarily a big deal. It just has to be managed. It can also be fixed if it's a big deal, but they actually assume that a lot of people are walking around with holes in the heart that just don't know about it.
Huh.
Yeah. So, there's a...
That sounds, like, poetic and really sad.
So there's a two parts, and they don't, like, connect in the middle. It's actually much more complicated than that. They overlap, and then that allows one of them to work as, like, a valve for sending blood through that hole.
Huh.
I think that's a whole embryologic, cardiac development.
That's topic. A different podcast for a different day.
Yeah, that could be a few podcasts. But basically, there's inadequate growth or absorption of those two major structures. But the point being, the true atrial defects, they're basically the same thing. It's just whether or not the defect is in the first part of that or the second part of that septum.
Okay.
And that's it.
So that's atrium. Are there defects or holes in the ventricle?
Yeah,
I'm sure there is, because anything's possible.
Yeah, and that's actually quite a bit more common, is to have a... It's the most common congenital heart defect, is to have a hole in your ventricular septum. And again, because the left side of your blood has a higher blood pressure, left side of your heart is under higher pressure than your right side, we're still flowing blood from left to right.
Sure.
And basically results in a lot of the same things. Right ventricular hypertrophy, because we have to pump more blood, and pulmonary arterial hypertension, because we're shoving a lot more blood through that one vessel. So, bonus hole that I wanted to talk about is because the foramen ovale that we were talking about, that's like a remnant from embryological
development.
There's another one that is the same thing. It's actually not in your heart, but it's kind of interesting, I thought. It's called the ductus arteriosus. So, without getting into a whole fetal circulation thing, because I want to just mention this real quick, since we are quickly running out of time on this one, that hole, or that is a little, think of it like an artery or a vessel that connects the aortic arch to the left pulmonary artery.
Like a secret passageway or a shortcut?
Yeah, so inside the aortic arch there's a bookshelf, and you have to pull the right book, and then you come out behind the Godfather clock in the pulmonary artery. But it's the same thing for field circulation. It's basically given, you know, it's short-circuiting the system because we don't need it to work like we need it to work as adults. But sometimes it doesn't always close and basically leads to pulmonary hypertension. And again, all these things can be livable. It just depends on how bad it is.
The severity of it.
Yep. So, atrium septal defects, ventricle septal defects, and when that ductus arteriosus is stuck open, we call it a patent ductus arteriosus.
Holes in our hearts walking through the world every day. This podcast and a bunch of other information can be found on artofmedschool.com. Check back regularly for blog posts as well as worksheets and other materials that can help you in your med school journey. All right, so money. I like money. I mean, I don't love money. The world does go around. I was expecting perhaps that using money in the U.S. and my U.S. bank was going to be a lot easier than what it has proven to be.
You're saying accessing all that stuff?
Accessing it is a little bit more difficult than I thought it was going to be. So I thought I would just be able to write our landlord, a check. And then they would be able to deposit it like you do in the U.S. And, you know, and that's how I'd be able to pay for, like, larger ticket things if I couldn't, you know, use my debit card for it.
Yeah.
It takes 30 business days, not just, like, 30 days, what? But 30 business days for any check to clear. And so that's, like, 6 weeks.
That's a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally unusable.
No. So that's why our landlord doesn't want to take personal checks. And so, and ATMs, that seems to be so far the easiest way to get money. Yeah. You just put in your check card.
But, yeah, and they're around.
Yeah.
They're not terribly hard to find or anything.
No, there's two right by your school. And if you need money quick and fast, they work great. They do charge fees. The two main banks that I'm going to be talking about today are Bank of St. Vincent and the Grenadines and Scotiabank. Those are the two that you're going to find pretty much everywhere. The Bank of SVG, which is what I'm going to call the Bank of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Sure.
On their screen, it doesn't say that they charge ATM fees, but from going back into the banking accounts, they do.
How bad?
It's not actually that bad. It's only $1.50.
Okay.
U.S. But the government also wants their share, as they are wont to do. And so the government, and I think that this is a proportion of how much money you take out.
Oh, like a percentage.
I usually tend to take out 300 East Caribbean dollars at a time, which is, you know, 111 U.S., just because it's kind of a nice number. That's what, between the two of us, we use walking around a week, just so you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the government then takes their cut, which is $2.23, and just for changing the money.
Yeah.
Over.
But you put those together, though. That's getting close to $4 a transaction.
Yeah. And Scotiabank does say on their ATM window that they do charge a fee. And their fee is 15 EC, which is $5.56 U.S.
Ouch.
Which is a lot, even by U.S. standards.
Yeah.
Like, I think in U.S., yeah, you're used to paying like $3 to use.
Yeah, but so many banks will reimburse you those. Or
that's true.
They have their own out there. Like, Wells Fargo has ATMs all over. Like, I think a lot of people now don't pay ATM fees.
Yeah.
But also back home, like, we don't really use cash. Like, it's pretty rare for me to carry cash back home.
Yeah, but everything happens in cash here.
Yeah, you can't get away. Like, the grocery store by my school, I can use my check card there. I think that's literally the only place I've used a check card.
And they do charge, the government charges that same fee.
Oh, oh, so I'm getting charged an extra $2 and whatever.
Well, it's proportionate to whatever you're buying. So if you're buying something for $5, it's like 3 cents or something. Oh, okay. So it doesn't.
All right, that's
fine. You know, it exists, but it's not so bad. And But so what I've been doing for paying rent is taking money out of the ATM and depositing it directly into our landlord's account.
Yeah.
And they have an account with Scotiabank. And so I was thinking, you know what? Even if it takes 6 weeks, it would be so much easier for me to write a check to myself and have an account here so I don't get nickeled and dimed every time I want to take out money, you know?
Yep.
And so the process of opening a bank account is a lot more difficult than I was anticipating as well. So I decided that I wanted to try Scotiabank first because that's where our landlord banks and, you know.
Sure.
And
well, it's also more like Scotiabank's an international
bank. Yeah, it's a Canadian bank. Yeah. And so.
So we potentially could have a use for it down the road.
Maybe. I don't know. If we were Canadian.
Yeah.
And this is my main tip with Scotiabank. If you are Canadian, get a Scotiabank account before you even come down here. I think that would be your easiest, best bet.
Yeah.
When I was down here, beyond being difficult to work with, they just were very mean to me, as a personal note. So the things that they need are as follows. They need proof of income. So a letter if you have a job here, which, you know, you're here to go to school. So, but wherever you're getting your money. So you need a letter from whatever loan institution you're getting your loan money from.
Yeah.
They require money to be coming in. So if you are personally rich and have a bunch of money that you're just, that's how you're paying for school, you won't be able to get an account. You need two forms of ID. You need the original of your lease. A copy won't work. You need the originals of 6 months worth of bank statements from a previous bank. You need the original acceptance letter from the school with an administrator's signature on it. And I'm pretty sure you just got an email, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was an official one, but, or it was sent via, like, an official document sender or whatever.
But they won't accept a printout.
That's literally all I have.
Yeah. So you would have to go to the school and have them make you a new one, I guess. And a letter from whatever previous bank that you have addressed to the bank, a reference letter. So they would say, this person has a bank and a bank account with us, and they're really great. I'm not certain. And then a letter from the school addressed to the bank.
Honestly, I wouldn't do this.
Right. And,
yeah.
And
like, even if it was back home and they wanted these things, I'd tell them no.
No.
No, this is way more than is any of their damn business.
Right. Well, I agree with that, but that's, you know, what they need. And so, but that's why I'm saying if you were Canadian, I would go and open an account in Canada with Scotiabank because they're around, and I think overall that'd be easier.
Yeah.
I believe that the Bank of St. Vincent and the Grenadines is where we're going to be opening up an account. I met with somebody there, and they were really nice. And to me, that means a lot. But so they still need proof of income, and it needs to be notarized and sent directly to the bank.
Mm.
So, but they did say that they would accept a notarized letter, and then that was scanned in and then printed out. Just as long as I assured them that the letter would be coming eventually.
Oh, okay.
Two forms of ID. They said that I could have a copy of my lease and 6 months of bank statements that I can just print off.
Still feels weird.
It still feels weird, you know, because you in the U.S. can just, like, go and open an account with, like... Oh, and then with Bank of SVG, you also have to make an initial deposit of 10 EC.
that's a lot of money.
But so part of the reason that I was, you know, working on setting all this stuff up is that we recently bought a car,
yep.
which is a larger ticket item, which, but we bought a pretty cheap car.
Yeah, it was not terrible.
No, but it was...
And I already love having a car.
Yeah.
Like, it's already making life a lot easier.
But so what ended up having to happen is since we were buying a cheaper car, we paid for it in cash. I think that... I'm not certain what we would have done if we had bought... If we had purchased a really expensive car, I'm not sure how that would have worked out. I don't know.
Oh, because we also wouldn't have bought an expensive car.
Right.
We're only here 2 years.
Right. So I had to have my dad wire money. I had to transfer money from my account because we bought it with our money. Transfer money to my dad, who then had to take that out in cash in the United States and bring it to a MoneyGram. And
wasn't it at like Walmart?
It was at Walmart, yep.
So your dad had to roll into Walmart with like
$3,000
in cash.
And because you can do it online, but I could have sent money to you or I could have sent money to myself online. But since my bank account was in the United States and my IP address that I was operating from my computer was from a different country, they thought
right.
I was trying to swindle myself.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that you got in someone's account and were wiring money to yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which...
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. Like, it's annoying and frustrating that you weren't able to do it. But it's kind of cool to know that safety feature is
That safety
there.
Feature, yeah. So... Then I had to go down to the MoneyGram office, which is, there's a bunch around, but one of them is at the main post office, which felt good having, you know, because there's security there and that I was taking out a bunch of cash, you know. And so then I was able to then purchase the car that way. MoneyGram does have slightly cheaper fees than Western Union. Those are the two international money wiring organizations that exist here. So, but that's how we would transfer a very large sum of money.
Sure.
It was about $70.
Oh, that's not terrible.
To transfer $3,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it worked out and it actually was really slick.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like cool. And it once Dad brought the money to Walmart in the US, it was here immediately.
Yeah.
And so then I was able to take it out. So
that's
yeah. So that's kind of how I'm figuring out how money is working here. Setting up a bank account is also probably the way to go so you don't get nickeled and dimed on spending. For med students, however, the banks are only open to do that Monday through Thursday, 8 to 2, and Friday, 8 to 4, and then Saturday until noon.
So
but they don't do account openings on Saturdays.
Oh, well, that's awful.
Yeah. So, there's that. That's the way the money works. Are you liking what you're hearing? Coming very soon, we will be launching our Patreon account where you will get special access to more of what you're getting here. It's the study of people named Tara.
Yes, it is. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Tara.
So teratology, it's the study of congenital abnormalities and abnormal formation. So it's like people that are born with something wrong because their mom was exposed to something while they're in the womb. That's what... It's the study of that.
So not anything that's like genetic. Like,
right.
Like if you have Down syndrome, that's like a genetic thing. If you have,
yeah.
Like, would fetal alcohol syndrome babies
that's
be like that?
That's an example of teratology.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Alcohol
not cool.
is a teratology.
It's not, not
no.
cool, but you know what I'm
she
saying.
She just shook her finger at the microphone.
It's true.
So, teratology Depends on quite a few things as far as like how susceptible you are and how it might manifest. It does depend on the genotype of the baby. Genes do come into play to a certain degree. The dose of the teratogen, like how heavy was the exposure, how long was the exposure, the duration, and then what stage of development was the embryo or the fetus in when it happened?
Sure. Yeah, that, I mean, that would all make sense.
Yep. So what do you think the most susceptible time would be? Early or later? Or in the middle?
I would think in the middle.
It's pretty close. So it's you would probably say it's on the early side because it's from week 3 to week 8.
Oh, that is early. Like, that's sometimes before you even know you're pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, like, the start of the major formations of organs. After week 8, like, it's still developing and still forming, but it's really kind of more just, like, refining and putting things into the right place where, like, and then getting large, you know, or larger. Week 3 to 8, like, that's when all this stuff is getting formed.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. But, yeah, mm-hmm. That's scary because sometimes you don't know you're pregnant until after you miss a period, which is after 4th week or 5th week or something.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's the way I understand it, it's often not until week 6 that that you'll even know that you missed a period.
Sure.
And then if it happens before week 3, the embryo is probably just going to die because it's so... You know. So I mean, that's teratology. There's a ton of stuff that goes with it. I thought I'd share just a few of the major teratogens and what they can lead to, just for examples. Like, what's a good one here? Lithium. Lithium is still really, really widely used as a treatment for bipolar. But that can cause heart defects and defects in the great vessels. Because drugs are obviously a teratogen. Phenytoin, which is an anti-seizure med, leads to hydantoin. I can't say that word. Hydantoin syndrome.
What does that mean?
I'm not even sure what what exactly it means. Like the word, I mean. But it involves microcephaly and mental deficiency. That has like a ridged frontal suture. So the frontal suture is like suture. That's the your frontal bone of your mm-hmm. skull. That suture gets like a ridge on it.
Okay.
Broad nasal ridge, distal phalangeal hypoplasia, which is like your fingers and your toes are underdeveloped and they're like little stubby fingers.
Oh, okay.
The thing that kind of like bothered me when I was learning about this is sometimes they still refer to congenital development like malformations of the facies and stuff as gargoylism.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Are we not 2017?
Yeah, no, that's
That feels terrible. What else are good ones? I feel like this one everybody talks about. Toxoplasmosis.
Oh yeah, like like crazy cat lady disease.
Yeah, yeah, but that can actually really screw up a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, hydrocephalus.
This is making me really sad.
Hydrocephalus, so they've got water on the brain. Microcephaly, they've got a small head. Jaundice, fever, hepatosplenomegaly, which is a large spleen and liver. Cytomegalovirus is the most common one that happens. It's transmitted transplacentally, so it goes from the mom through the placenta.
This is a virus you can get?
Yeah.
Would I ever know if I got it?
I think it's possible to have it without knowing that you have it, or like to be sick from it without knowing that you have it, but it's in the herpes order, so...
What are you saying, Micah?
I'm just okay. Just saying it's in the herpes. I'm just saying I'm good. rubella is another pretty common one.
Sure.
It disturbs mitosis, like the cells trying to split and everything. And I think that one of the interesting things is, with this is that it, what the abnormality is going to be really depends on, again, the stage of development, but also what fetal tissue is infected.
Oh, sure.
That it's not just like this carte blanche, once one part is infected, it's all infected, you know? So that's a few examples of teratology. That's what teratology is. I just thought it'd be kind of neat to share that one.
Makes me sad.
I think that makes me sad. Try Google image searching some of these.
No, thank you. All right, so there you have it. This week we talked about holes in the heart, how to move money around in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and teratology. Our theme music, Urbana Metronica Wuya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way with St. James School of Medicine. He just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.